Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, transforming the retail space with digital signage with business on all the major continents, especially Asia. We address Asia immediately because of the excitement over a lab in China called DeepSeek that proposes to do the same work of the best AI companies at a much lower cost, even faster. However, Chris, a very good day to you. I remember vividly an anecdote you told me some years ago about an underground wholesale market in Shanghai or at the edge of Shanghai or somewhere integrated into the city. I've never been there. And everything in the market, a wide open space is what I picture, sort of a Costco or a Walmart. Everything in the market reflects luxury goods, the sort of thing that you buy from Europe routinely or America. But it's all understood to be knockoffs. Everything is intellectual property ripped off, an imitation. And the shopping there is ferocious. I remember that every time we come up with something that asserts that it's China being breaking through to the next level because of their hard work and their diligence, they are the future. And DeepSeek now has mitigation in the news that the preparation for the claim of a much lower cost and faster AI skipped out a couple of details, such as using OpenJet that's available for training somewhere in the steps that they prepare their final run through that they say costs a little more than $5 million. Now, that's all a complicated way of saying I've learned to suspect anything coming from China as a knockoff, and that is just the way they do business. That's the culture. Am I putting two stories together that don't belong? Handbags and AI. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, you're thinking exactly right. The Chinese government does not enforce intellectual property protection. That market that you're speaking of is one of the big bootleg markets in Shanghai, underground, and in that knockoff watches, purses, apparel, etc. The irony to that is there's a poster in front hanging from the ceiling as you go into that market that said, knockoffs are legal and we, the government of China, support intellectual property protection. So that's kind of the cheekiness at which the Chinese work to say, we're going to publicly state this is not allowed with a sign in front of the biggest market where it's being done. As it goes to AI, as it goes to the use cases around DeepSeek using OpenAI's models to train its model, I would give a high probability that DeepSeek did use OpenAI modules to be able to figure that out outside of the OpenAI license agreement. But I'd also state that was to be expected. The Chinese approach will likely be, because they've been banned from high performance NVIDIA-based GPUs and the ability to do compute on the very high end, they will simply scale it out and use parallelism and borrow, steal, acquire, do whatever is necessary to grow that industry in China, much the same way that we would do competitively. So that being said, the race is on. This is the kind of Sputnik moment for AI and cause that market correction. But it's good to have competition and to drive it, but it also should be expected that the Chinese will steal anything and everything that's not locked down in AI.
We come to news of the moment that looks to be supporting OpenAI with cash on the floor. SoftBank in talks to invest up to $25 billion in OpenAI. Deal would make Japanese group the biggest financial backer in ChatGPT maker. Of course, this involves the very famous Mr. Sun of SoftBank. We've been talking about Mr. Sun for years. He makes big bets and he wins big. And he's looking to make a big bet on AI. Does this mean that he assumes, and that in the conversations with Mr. Altman of OpenAI that the DeepSeek challenge is understood and that they're going to deal with it? Is that what we can assume?
John, those announcements came out before the DeepSeek news broke over the weekend. I think what you would see is with Mr. Son, who is extremely intelligent and very sharp to both American business and American politics, this is a way for him to engender further favor with the Trump administration and to say, hey, I'm going to make a big bet in this space. The challenge is, however, as you see now with the Chinese announcements and with use cases around DeepSeek, the innovators in the space might not be the companies that have $25 billion thrown at them. But with tech, it could be those three UC Berkeley comp sci kids working out of a garage that create the next great model. Technology is a democratizing force if opened correctly. And within this use case, while you do see Mr. Ellison, Mr. Son throwing huge numbers at some of these areas, the really interesting points to watch may be the garage bands that come up with cool new uses because you have really innovative minds and really innovative things. And the capital is parallel to helping those scale out. But the real innovation might be done by individuals or small groups.
One more detail. If I were writing a thriller based on the ability to use information as warfare, it would describe what we've witnessed these last days with DeepSeek as an information operation run by a state security. That would be the thriller I would read on the airplane. Does that describe anything like reality when dealing with the People's Republic of China?
Certainly could, John. I would not be shocked or surprised at all if a DeepSeek had substantial government backing simply as a way to poke a hole in the AI stock valuation and balloon and reduce some of that patina on U.S. tech. So it wouldn't be surprising at all. That's just the way the Chinese government fights this fight.
And now we turn to a subject that we've talked about at great length, which is the pendulum swinging, favoring the employee during the pandemic and in the recovery, and then swinging back to favoring the employer. The Trump administration has offered a buyout to federal workers to pay them everything they're owed between now and September 30th if they leave by such and such a date in February. Is that a practical approach to downsizing government? Does that work?
So, John, I think that's a to be determined, but it is kind of a fascinating experiment to say you now have people in the administration that are looking at government the way that you look at business. If you can reduce cost, if you can increase efficiency, are you not doing a better job on behalf of the U.S. taxpayers? The approach of saying, hey, we'll give you an 8-month severance to be able to depart government, find a new job, but we're going to optimize. It's the first time probably since the Reagan administration any focus was put on the bloated federal bureaucracy, and it could be incredible for the country to reduce and streamline those jobs where in every commercial business that's looked at daily. In the government, it seems to be looked at once every 50 years.
Does it work? Did it work in tech?
If you look at what Mr. Musk did at Twitter/X when he came in and reduced headcount by 80-85%, while there were a few bumps in the road initially, I think the answer is yes.
I remember that scene of Mr. Musk walking into the headquarters, at the time the headquarters of then called Twitter, and I think he was carrying a kitchen sink. So that's the Musk approach, and it worked at Twitter? Is that the opinion?
Certainly. Headcount was reduced dramatically, and in tech, there's a trope which is called the one pizza rule. If you have tech teams that, when you're rewarding them, take more than one pizza, you might have a group that's too big. There's a direct proportionality of innovation to team size, and if you're taking tech-like approaches to government to say, hey, let's get government innovating, let's streamline, let's build efficiency, let's try to do a better job at this, the idea of downsizing, scaling intelligence, scaling technology into government, and making that more efficient is good for the U.S.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholars.com.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.